Good morning again, Newville. There is no scripture verse on the back of your devotional this morning, but Tim asked me to talk about the experience is the blessing, the topic for his message today. The experience is the blessing. And I also have a scripture verse that I'll use to as an illustration of what I'd like to say. In my profession, I talk about the process is the product, or experience before explanation. The other day, a student of mine shared, I love words, and so a student of mine shared a Japanese word, I can't pronounce it, Y-U-U-G-E-N, Yugen, in Japanese, describes a deep awareness of the universe that triggers deep and mysterious emotion that is beyond words. And that is the kind of thing that I think about when I think about the importance of experience. And I'd like to even give an example of last week I worked with a client. And, you know, clients come in to me with a lot of experiences that just don't fit, are sad, hard, difficult. And that's why they come. You know, they have a set of experiences that they have experienced their whole life. And I had a client say to me, it's almost like I'm on a treadmill and I'm constantly trying to convince the world and the people around me, I am not that person. I am not that person. Please help me see I'm not that person. And so it was like towards the end of our session, and I realized that there was something there that clicked with me. And you know how when you're experiencing something and you feel something that's like beyond what's happening, there's like a connection with somebody. And so I shared with her what I do sometimes, and I'm in a situation like that, is I will say to someone else something like this, you just don't know. You just don't know. I say that often when I'm experiencing something having to do with Timmy and his death. It's just too big. It's too big for me. So I just say, you just don't know. And that really is all you have to say. Because all of your experiences, I said to her, are particular. They're nuanced. They're specific. They're necessary for who she is. And of course, no one else can really. You know, you hold those things close to your heart because they're near and dear to you, but you really couldn't explain them to somebody else because there's not words to do it. So it's okay just to say, you just don't know. You just don't know. So I think about that in the scripture verses that I think beautifully talk about the experience before explanation, the process is the product, the experience is the blessing, is found in scripture. If you'll allow me just to read it to you, you can just listen. I'm reading from John chapter 12. Beginning at verse 6. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany where Lazarus was, the one Jesus had raised from the dead. So they gave a dinner for him there. Martha was serving them, and Lazarus was one of those reclining at the table with him. Then Mary took a pound of fragrant oil, pure and expensive nard, anointed Jesus' feet, and wiped his feet with her hair. So the house was filled with the fragrance of the oil. Then one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, who was about to betray him, said, "Why wasn't this fragrant oil sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor?" He didn't say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. He was in charge of the money bag and would steal part of what was put in it. Jesus answered, "Leave her alone. She has kept it for the day of my burial. For you always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me." So I want to repeat, in the scripture, in the Greek interlinear, it says, "Leave her be, for she has kept this for the day of my burial." Kept it for the day of my burial. And I think often we translate that "it" as the expensive perfume. It wasn't the perfume. It was the experience. That's what she kept for the day of his burial. lovely, particular, nuanced, necessary for her. May God bless that reading of his word.
Yeah, the experience is the blessing that came to me this week, and Teresa, you did a good job there. And I'm thinking of some of you in here that have told me about experiences you've had. And the explanation comes later. That's great that she carried that explanation, that experience with her till the day of his burial, and at which point what she went through would become clear to her and why she had that experience. And that is a hopeful thought. You know, I think that as God's people, we think this way, that if I do thus and so, if I serve him, that God will reward with blessing. Okay, if we do what God wants and what's pleasing to him, that God will respond to us with blessing. Isn't that? I think that's typical thinking. I think it's reasonable thinking. But, you know, Teresa's taught me a lot. She's changed me in so many ways, and she said this thing to me, and sometimes I don't really understand what Teresa says because she's talking in a different kind of discipline than I have, but she said, the process is the product. She said that to me. I acted like I knew what that meant, you know, because I didn't want to seem dumb. So, oh yeah, the process is the product. But then, you know, it starts, as time goes on, that's making sense to me. And I'll tell you, I'll give you an example. There's so many examples in your life, too, that I think that when this is clear, you'll get this. I had the privilege of playing on a very excellent basketball team at Lexington. And we had a goal. The goal was to win the state championship. We were the number one rated team in the state of Ohio. And we won every game except that last game. See, that was our goal. And to me, for years, I thought I missed the blessing. See, I thought the goal, that win would be the blessing for me. And as I've matured and as I get together with my teammates, we have now evolved into a different way of thinking. And Steve Keck, I can mention his name, he was our point guard, and he lives down in South Carolina. And just of recently, he's a very deep thinker, and he said it was the experience. The experience was the blessing. You know, that camaraderie and what we went through together, that was the blessing. And if we're not careful, we can miss that. We can just look at the experience as a means to an end. Are you getting this? The experience is just something we got to go through, and then the blessing comes at the end of that. And I think we, as Christians, think of serving God that way. And I did. I also think of another example from our family. We have four sons, and you know, you think the blessing of children and, well, we can't wait till they're adults, you know, and we have adult relationships with them, and you know, the chaos, you know, is not in our house anymore, and that sort of thing. And then, you know, I look back now, and of course, the experience was the blessing. You see, the experience of having them as little boys was the blessing, and I think that can be missed. So I want you to hold on to that thought because I think it'll change the way we think day to day. We've been studying the narrative of Israel, and I'm going off that narrative a little bit today. because as I read through that narrative of Israel, there's tension in that nation, isn't there? And there's turmoil in that nation. And we see it in that narrative. And then we look at our country. There's a lot of tension and a lot of turmoil in our nation. And if you're in helping profession, and I know there's several of you in here are in helping professions, you see individual turmoil and tension in lives. And when I look at Israel and I look at our nation, the reason for that tension and that turmoil was and is the battle to define what it means to be genuinely human. That's what Israel faced. They had some ungodly leaders who led them into, you know, we talked about truth. Dan asked for the Holy Spirit to reveal truth to us. And they had ungodly leaders in Israel that said to them, this is what it means to be genuinely human. This is true about humanity. And then they had godly rulers who would come and overturn that and say, no, this is what it means to be genuinely human. This is truth. And it is that turmoil and that tension in a nation and in individual lives, because it's coming at us, it's pulling at us every day of which truth to buy into. What does it really mean to be human? Well, look at what we're debating in our nation about. You speak of truth and what it means to be genuinely human. We've gone so far down that road that we're even debating and seriously debating today what it means to be male, what it means to be female. That's how far we've gone down that road of defining what it means to be genuinely human. Now even gender is up for grabs. Even gender is debatable. We've already done that with marriage. Marriage has now been redefined. And marriage is no longer between a man and a woman. Now marriage is this. It's between same-sex couples. See, that's the battle that's going on. The battle to define what it means to be genuinely human. And my answer to that is this. Regardless of my opinion, your opinion, about what it means to be genuinely human, regardless of philosophical argument or intellectual debate, regardless of all of that, the definition of genuine, what it means to be genuinely human, and therefore how we should live, can only be found and resolved one way, and that is that we read the instruction manual that came with the creature, that came with the human. What's the instruction manual that came with this product? Scripture, right? Scripture. And here's a way to think about that. And by the way, this is the only book on the planet that defines what it means to be human. This is it. And think of it this way. I have a lot of equipment down in one of my barns. I have a couple of different mowers, a couple of different John Deeres. I got a walk behind brush mower. I've got a wood splitter, hydraulic wood splitter. I've got a quad. And with each of those pieces of equipment, a manual came with it. I took all these manuals and I put them into a plastic container that locks, and I took Tori down there and I show him. I said, look, here's the equipment. These are the manuals. So you've got to read these manuals to know how to use the equipment and how to care for the equipment. I can't open that manual, for instance, or I can't look at my walk-behind brush mower, and I can then debate and decide, well, this is what it should be used for. I'm going to use that as a wood splitter. Or I'm going to use that as a pool vacuum. You see? That's what's happening with humanity. Humanity is trying to be pushed into a different definition. And our function and our use is trying to be pushed into the secular progressivist definition of what it means to be genuinely human. And it is tantamount to that. It is tantamount to having a piece of equipment and not looking at the manual and deciding unilaterally, this is what the equipment's going to be used for. I don't care what the manual says. I think it should be used for this. See, it's not up to me. It's not my opinion. It's not up to intellectual argument or philosophical debate. So, I know we're faced with this in the political arena a lot of times. And I think that's the battle. I think that's the battle in the nation. It means, this is what it means to be human. No, on the other side, this is what it means to be human. So, we're going to do an exercise today. You all have a Bible. We're going to look at the manual. Do you want to do that with me? Let's look at the manual that came with these creatures, these image bearers, these humanoids. So we open up. We'll open up the manual, okay, everybody? Get your manual. Open it up. We're going to look at the first page. Because the first page of every manual I have on that equipment in my barn, the very first page tells me this is what it's to be used for. And if you use it any other way, it's dangerous. You can injure yourself or the equipment can be damaged. Do you see? Isn't that appropriate? Humanity defined any other way besides what this manual says, it's going to be damaged. So, the very first page, God, the manufacturer who wrote the manual, says, okay, I've made this amazing piece of equipment. Now, this is what it is, and this is what it's to be used for. So we look at chapter 1 in Genesis, verses 26 and 27. There is the definition of what it means to be genuinely human. Regardless of opinion, regardless of what is foisted on us by the dominant culture and by the liberal media, it doesn't matter what they say. This is the manual. What is a human? What does it mean to be genuinely human? God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. They will rule the fish of the sea, the birds of the sky, animals, and then all the earth, and the creatures that crawl on the earth. Verse 27. So, after God had this idea, in verse 26, verse 27, he implements it. That's what verse 27 is. Verse 27 is the thought from the eternal God implementing what he said he was going to do in verse 26. He does it in verse 27. So God created man in his own image. Now look what his image is. You want to redefine marriage? He created him in the image of God. He created them male and female. We don't have to debate about gender. We don't have to debate about marriage. The manual says, this is it. He created them male and female, and that combination is what completes the image of God. Anything else is short of, or something else, something other than. It doesn't follow the manual. Now, remember what Teresa said. The experience is the blessing. We all want to be blessed by God. We want our nation to be blessed by God. Here we have, in verse 28, the very first time God blesses this newly made wonderful machine. And look what the blessing is. See verse 28? You see the blessing? It's the experience. Verse 28. So God blessed them. How? Be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, and subdue it. Rule the fish of the sea, the birds of the sky, and every creature that crawls on the earth. That's the blessing. The blessing that God gives this newly created wonderful machine is now you get to use your image bearing. Now you get to experience what you were made for. Is everybody tracking? If not, I want to know. Are you tracking with this? Yeah? Yeah? What's the blessing? What's the blessing that God gives humanity here? Right. The experience. The experience. Run my earth. Be my image bearer. Reflect me into what I've created. And that experience is your blessing. Us fleshing out genuine humanity day to day, sometimes hour by hour, is the highest blessing that God can give us. It is that experience that is the highest blessing that God can give. Now, I think that the Spirit's starting to click here with me right now, and I think that this is going to make sense to you now. When we're image bearers, when we do what Genesis 1:28 says, and when you do that today, and when you do that tomorrow, and you experience that, and you affect somebody's life because you're an image bearer, that's the blessing. That's the highest blessing we can ever experience. It's our highest calling. The experience of serving Him is the blessing. Stop waiting for it. Stop thinking that if you do these things, then at the end of it all, you're going to be blessed. God says, well, I'm going to bless you, and here's the blessing. Take that which I've equipped you with and use it. And it will be that experience of using it that is the blessing. Track? How do you flesh that experience out? How do you think? Make it practical. How would you flesh that experience out? You know, that's airy-fairy maybe, Tim. You know, what do you mean being an image bearer? Well, let's flesh it out. Let's put it tomorrow in the shoe leather. And so I'm going to ask you, when they asked Jesus in Matthew, big hint, chapter 6, bigger hint, they asked Jesus, his friends and followers, what they're saying to him is, you know, how can we be blessed by God? And they worded it differently. They said, how should we pray? Because I think our prayers, like the prayer request that you made to me this morning and to the group, I think what we want at the end of those prayer requests are blessing, God's blessing. So I think any prayer is geared toward gaining God's blessing. So they say to Jesus, how do we get God's blessing when we pray? What do you say? He said, when you pray, this is how we flesh out the experience of being an image bearer. This is really important stuff. Let me just interject that right here. I think this is it. I really do think this is the difference. Absent this kind of knowledge, I think our Christian experience can be, or I think our lives can even devolve into what Thoreau calls quiet desperation. Waiting, keep waiting, keep waiting, like waiting for Godot. You know, you're waiting for Godot. He never came. You've read that book. Well, so I think the Christians can think that way. Where's the blessing? And Jesus says, here's how you flesh out being an image bearer. He said, when you pray, you should pray like this. Our Father in the heavenly realm, may your name be honored as holy. May your kingly rule be extended. And may your will be done. That's fleshing out the image-bearing experience that is the blessing. And where did Jesus ask for those things to be done? You see, if we're waiting and we're waiting for the blessing, waiting for God to bless us individually, waiting for God to bless our nation, where does Jesus ask these things be done? Yes, right. on earth, he says, just like it is in heaven. It's the experience of being an image bearer. It's the experience of genuine humanity. It is the experience of honoring, extending, and doing that is the blessing. Have you experienced that? Why is that a blessing? What happens? Well, you get caught up in the divine project. Remember that term. The divine project. What's the divine project? Genesis 1:28. That's the divine project. I've made a world. I've made some really fantastic creatures that look like me. And they're now going to take that image bearing and they're going to run my world. That mandate has not changed. That's still in force. That's the divine project that when you experience those things, you are, God said in Genesis 1:28, here's how I'm going to bless you as humans. You get to experience this. Tracking? And here's something even more powerful. We experience our individual, note that word, we experience our individual genuine humanity. You know what I mean by that? As individuals living in a fallen world, we're all prone to what the secularists have called the human condition. The human condition. What we're all looking for, and when you see these the turmoil in our nation today, and there's a lot of it. You see the turmoil in individual lives, a lot of that. What everyone is looking for is something that clicks with them, aren't they? Isn't that what you're looking for? Something that clicks. You know what I mean? You ever been there? You know, I talk about being caught up in the divine project, and I'm talking about you find your individual, genuine humanity. In other words, what were you specifically created to do in this divine project? Have you ever experienced that? I have flashes of it. Teresa and I have talked about this. She tells me when she's up teaching that she gets flashes, and it just feels like all the tumblers are falling into place. Have you all had that? You're doing something, and sometimes you can't even describe, but all of a sudden, something clicks with you, and it's like, and the minute I try to articulate it, it's gone. The minute I try and nail it down, it leaves. But I know I felt it. I feel it when I'm preaching. Now, I'm very proud to be, Judy says, the seventh generation pastor in our family. I'm very happy about that. And sometimes when I'm up here, and some of you have told me, in fact, Dave, you told me one day, you said, boy, I could really tell the Spirit was speaking through you today. And, you know, when that happens, I get flashes of this. I get a glimpse of my individual, genuine humanity, and I get a glimpse of what clicks with me. Now, that doesn't mean that your individual, genuine humanity, I can tell that you're interested in this. And so I think the Spirit is getting something here. I can see you're interested. Because what could possibly be more of a blessing than to find out who you most deeply are? See, Teresa talked about that this morning in her class. She talked about the soul. And the soul is who we most deeply are. It doesn't mean you have to preach or teach to have this click, to feel that. You know, C.S. Lewis talks about that. He says it's sometimes when you're doing something and time stands still and you just go into a zone. You ever been in that zone? you know, I click into a zone and you start to just respond to the Spirit of God, and you start to do and say things that even surprise you. And that is the click. And that is your genuine individual humanity. That is your own image bearing. That is you experiencing Genesis 1:28. You're in the divine project. Your project is different than mine, but it is all vital and important. It doesn't mean you teach or preach, as I said. It means that you have any number of vocations where you honor, extend, and do. Where you honor his name, you extend his kingly rule, and you do his will. Where you are his image bearer. And everybody's trying to find themselves, aren't they? Which, you know, you hear that expression, I'm trying to find myself. Well, here we have a gift, a supreme gift, that we can get and buy into. For this I came. How would you like to say that? For this I came. And then it will start to become second nature. You'll start to get it. Now, here's what the enemy does. Here's what the enemy did in Genesis 3. You know, the enemy read the instruction manual also. The enemy knew the blessing of Genesis 1:28 to get caught up in the divine experience. So what does he do to you? What's he doing to our nation? What did he do to ancient Israel? What did he do to paradisal man? He redefined truth, Dan. He redefined. He tried to redefine. Isn't that what's going on in our nation? Well, male and female are a state of mind. Redefine truth. So the enemy comes at paradisal man, and he says, did God really say the genuine humanity was being his image bearer? And we find Adam and Eve, and we find ourselves, when we allow that to happen, and it happens to me, we find ourselves like Adam and Eve, like scratching their head and saying, well, maybe not. Maybe not. What, the minute that happens, then the walk behind brush mower is used as a wood splitter. And it's damaging. We talked about Teresa again. Just everything I say, just say, as Teresa said. What?
Well, I actually was thinking that is when the soul is pierced.
Yeah, that's just what I was going to say. That Teresa talked about the soul can be damaged and pierced. See, that's what happens when you try to use your individual humanity as something other than what the instruction book says. And here's the great thing about it. You know, I talk about the consummated kingdom, and I'm just pontificating here, but I think I can claim the high ground here on biblically on this. Now, here's what I'm going to say about that. For God's people, this experience for the people of God will go on in ever more expansive and adventurous and creative ways into all eternity. We will imagine that. You know, we have flashes of it now. As I said, I have a flash of what for this I came, and it feels good. You've had it too, and it feels right, doesn't it? It feels like peace. And then I think, well, that's for all eternity. We're going to be forever and always experiencing this more and more and more, becoming more and more who we most deeply are meant to be, more and more what we were made for. You know, Shakespeare said, to thine own self be true, and then it follows as night follows the day that thou canst not then be false to any man. So, He was right, but he was wrong in how he applied it. See, that's what will happen to us in eternity. We will, to our own selves, be true. And we will experience an ever-deepening understanding of what Tim Davis's image-bearing is. And what your individual image-bearing is. And here's the wild part. Here's where my mind can't get around it. that'll never end. That will never end. Because God is infinite. The universe is infinite. Our experience of our genuine selves will therefore be, is this exciting? Yeah. Is therefore going to be infinite. And, like Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13, and now we know in part, then we will know fully, just as we will be fully known. Now, is this starting to make sense now? See, now we see through a glass darkly, but then we're going to see face to face. And for all eternity, I will get to know God in a way I couldn't possibly know him by knowing you, and vice versa. We're the image of God. And that will go on into all eternity. Deeper and deeper self-awareness, deeper and deeper image bearing, deeper and deeper experience. And that is the blessing, and it starts now. You know, Sandy and I have busy days at the office. We take care of a lot of people. Teresa's there taking care of a lot of people. Vika, a lot of the people, and it's exhausting. But, at the end of that, we know, you know, we clicked that day. We had an experience that day. We were image bearers that day. And we have only, in my opinion, we have only scratched the surface. We've only scratched the very surface of who we most deeply are, and we've only scratched the surface of the full flower of what it means to be genuinely human. Don't let the enemy do Genesis 3 to you, because it damages the equipment. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. And thank you, Holy Spirit, for revealing truth today. You answered our prayer. The process was the product. Amen.